It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade, neither persons nor property will be safe. A timeless quote from Frederick Douglass to remember and consider. How many Americans are devout followers of the religion of politics while the world implodes around them? The power structure produced political drama theater catches most of the population up in chapter after chapter of manufactured mass distraction. And all the while, the planet is going down in flames, the biosphere in which our common reality depends. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to Global Alert News for February 3rd, 2018. As always, this is a commercial-free news program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org. This broadcast is aired throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 AM to 7, Sunday mornings from 7 AM to 8. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network and other broadcasters, PRN at 2 PM Eastern Time. A reminder for those in the Shasta County, Redding area, critical information materials at Orchard Nutrition, distributed by geoengineeringwatch.org. And you can circulate those materials. We ask you do so. Help us to sound the alarm. This week, Jim Fair, Roseville, California, started yesterday, goes through tomorrow. It's at the grounds. That's the name of the facility it's at. Show your support for Jim Fair, a staunch ally in the anti-geoengineering battle. There's a fully staffed and stocked geoengineeringwatch.org booth there. You can get free materials and help circulate those. Next week in the Jim Fair event, Santa Barbara, California, at the Earl Warren Showgrounds, and on February 23rd through 25th, major Jim Fair event in Costa Mesa, California. Again, that booth will be fully staffed and stocked. Acquire materials, help us to circulate those. Help wake the population up to the climate engineering assault that's going on above their heads each and every day. As I get into the stories I'm going to try to cover today, again, there's not nearly enough time to cover them all. I'll do my best to connect the dots. Let's remember this quote. In times of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And what does the power structure-controlled mainstream media throw at anyone who dares to question the official narrative? Quote, conspiracy theorist. The knee-jerk buzz button word to try to marginalize anyone who dares to question the official narrative. Consider this headline from AOL.com to set the tone for this broadcast. Quote, here's the headline. Conspiracy theorists are already making wild claims about the Amtrak train full of Republican lawmakers that collided with a truck in Virginia. It was certainly an interesting event, was it not? There's never any shortage of distracting dramas as the planet spirals out of control, as does population. Question, if various crime syndicate factions are feuding with each other, does that mean any of the factions are better or worse than the others? Answer, our government is corrupt to the core on all sides of the facade political fences. A reminder as to the bottom line, as the biosphere implodes and abrupt climate shift continues to accelerate, the military-industrial complex desperation to acquire remaining resources is completely out of control. Not only is the U.S. empire looting, plundering, and pillaging for resources in foreign lands all over the globe, let's consider this headline issued yesterday from multiple sources. And again, a reminder as to this fact. The biosphere is the bottom line. Everything else is just a distraction. When the biosphere ceases supporting life, game over. Here's the headline. Outrageous gold rush-style grab of public lands to begin Friday. This is from EcoWatch. There are many sources that covered this. I'm giving just one example of what I give weekly about the unbridled attempt to plunder what's left of the planet's resources. From this report, despite protests from conservationists, local tribe leaders, and even the United Nations, at 6 p.m. on Friday, the Trump administration will allow companies to start staking claims on sections of national monuments in Utah so the new stakeholders can conduct hard rock mining in the formerly protected public lands. Just one example, and it's not about Mr. Trump, for those who are still caught up on Mr. Trump. He's the current occupant of the White House, so he's in these headlines. Was no different overall with Obama, Clinton, or any of the rest. Please get over your political, religious bias. That's what it is. The religion of politics, all a facade, all designed to distract you from what's unfolding on the front lines of the biosphere. In regard to what's happening in America, here's an excerpt from an essay from John Whitehead titled Battleground America, The War on the American People. Many fronts on that war, by the way. Before I cover this report, I need to make this announcement regarding comment submissions to any geoengineeringwatch.org article or YouTube post. If you try to post a comment calling for any type of violence, directly or implied, your comment will be immediately deleted with no exceptions. Now back to Battleground America, the war on the American people. Before I get to the report that actually goes with that headline, let's not forget the medical-industrial complex war that is being waged against our children with now proven lethal vaccinations and the war that is being waged against parents who have shown the courage to stand against the vaccination insanity. I just have to give this example. The children are our future. It is our job to protect them. It's not an option. It's an obligation. Our lives do not belong to us, especially those of us that have brought children into the world. They belong to our children. It's our duty to protect them. Here's a few headlines. I'm just trying to give an example to keep this in the forefront of people's minds. Headline from Forbes.com. As more parents refuse vaccines, more doctors dismiss them. Headline from CBS News. Many pediatricians refuse unvaccinated patients. From another source, GoodHousekeeping.com. Pediatricians refuse to see unvaccinated kids. I want to interject this as a reminder because it's hard to look past this, even though there's frontline breaking events that will soon determine all of our futures. If we can't and won't protect our children right here, right now, what kind of society are we? How twisted is a society in which the caregivers contaminate the newborns? From the day children are born into this country, the medical and pharmaceutical industry complex goes to work on dimming the light in the miraculous gifts of life, our newborns. And for those who roll their eyes at this statement and walk away from such a truth, you're cowards. And to the cowards, answer this. If you can find the courage, why? Why would so-called medical professionals sweep up our newborns to give them a Hep B vaccination, many times within minutes of being born, giving our children a verifiably toxic injection when they not only have no immune system yet, but a vaccination for a potential disease, again, Hep B, that they could not possibly be exposed to unless they are having sex or doing drugs? And that's just the beginning of the additional 70-plus verifiably toxic vaccinations that the medical-industrial pharmaceutical complex will try to pump into our kids by the time they're 18. And if the pediatricians don't get the job done, they lose massive bonuses. What an unbelievable conflict of interest. Bonuses into the six-figure range. Want some statistics to back that statement up? How about the Blue Cross Blue Shield bonuses to pediatricians? $400 per child that receives all the vaccinations demanded by the power structure in the pharmaceutical medical industrial complex. And if the so-called healthcare providers don't fully vaccinate at least 63% of their children patients, they lose the entire bonus. Again, well into six figures in so many cases. Total conflict of interest. Criminal conflict of interest. And now back to the headlines I previously covered. Is it any wonder that pediatricians are dumping families that will not accept the toxic autism-causing injections? Is it any wonder at all? This is the insane asylum we're swimming in. Here's a few more societal updates. The roundups are getting worse. The checkpoints are getting worse. The harassment is getting worse. The things we were worried would happen are happening. This is a report from Angus Johnson, professor at the City University of New York. He states, no one is safe, no one is immune, no one gets spared the anguish, fear, and heartache of living under the shadow of an authoritarian police state. That's the message being broadcast 24/7 to the citizens and residents of the American police state with every new piece of government propaganda, every new law that criminalizes otherwise lawful activity, that criminalizes not giving your child a toxic vaccination. That's my insert, but consider that. Every new policeman on the beat, every new surveillance camera casting a watchful eye, every sensationalist news story that distracts, every new prison or detention center built to house troublemakers and other undesirables, every new court ruling that gives government agents a green light to strip, steal, and rape and revenge the citizenry, every school that opts to indoctrinate rather than to educate, and every new justification for why Americans should comply with the government's attempts to trample the Constitution and justice underfoot. Here in America, things are getting worse, not better. As the nation inches ever closer towards totalitarianism, that goose-stepping form of tyranny in which the government has all the power and we the people have none. This is an important report and something to consider. But I want to state this. With all this being said, there are countless exceptional individuals in law enforcement. And this fact must always be remembered and considered. And from my own experiences with the Shasta County Sheriff's Department and the Redding Police Department, I've had, again, exceptional experiences. When I first built my off-grid home in the wilderness of Shasta County, I had repeated run-ins with drug cartel members in the forest, hunting on my habitat land, and trespassing on my land. The Shasta County Sheriff's Department was of immense help with rooting out the criminal element in my region of the wilderness, which was a very real risk to me and my family. They, the Shasta County Sheriffs, have always made clear that protecting my family was a top priority for them. In Redding, I had an almost tragic occurrence of a transient trying to carjack my vehicle with my son and daughter inside. I was not at the vehicle at the time. The Redding Police Department was of immense help with this almost horrific experience. What I'm saying is this. We must not allow the power structure to put wedges between us, the population, and the law enforcement agencies. They are us. We are them. We must root out the bad elements from societies and law enforcement, of course. But while doing so, we must work together. All depends on this. On to the disintegrating biosphere and the climate system, which is the bottom line, as I've stated over and over and over. No habitat, no humans. Very simple. All other considerations are subordinate to the priority of preserving the planet's life support systems. All other considerations are a distraction in comparison. The climate engineers continue to systematically tear apart Earth's climate and life support processes. As overall global temperatures continue to skyrocket, strategically engineered cool downs using patented chemical ice nucleation processes are used to confuse and divide the population in regard to the true extent of climate disintegration and the immense threat it poses. The U.S. West and many other parts of the world continue to bake under record high temperatures. Skies continue to be constantly contaminated with the climate engineering jet aircraft sprayed aerosol particle dispersions, all of which we get to inhale, by the way. Does anyone even stop to wonder what happened to blue skies? The climate engineers continue to completely cut off the flow of moisture to the U.S. West and countless other parts of the world. They, the climate engineers, decide where it rains, where it does not, and how toxic that rain will be. On that note, for those that live in the Shasta County, Redding area, or for that matter, countless places across the country and around the world, does anyone even notice that there are trees all over the city, not all trees, but many trees, that are fully foliated with stone-dead leaves? And those leaves will hang there until new leaves come out in the spring. This is absolutely, completely, and totally unnatural. What's causing these leaves to die and hang on the trees? And it appears that in specific rains in the fall, because the temperatures are not getting cold enough, in fact, where I live, have not had a below freezing temperature. On my area, 2,000 foot elevation on the east side of Lake Shasta, I have not had a single below freezing temperature here all winter long. Used to get them in October, not one. The leaves on my trees here are also hanging dead on the tree. This is not a result of the abscission hormone releasing the leaf from the tree because it's cold. Something else is going on, and it appears in the last 7+ years that at a particular rain in the fall, some sort of defoliant is being used in the mix to force the trees into dormancy. Why would they do this? Because it creates the illusion of winter for people who are not that observant, for people who forgot. Leaves used to fall whole from the tree in the fall, discolored but whole, and the trees would certainly be bare all winter, not foliated with stone-dead leaves, as you can find all over Reading, all over other locations across the country and across the world. We are trying to, with some samples we have testing done to find out what's in the mix in these fall rains. If it's some sort of dioxin, Agent Orange, for example, for people who don't think this can be done, one, the fruit farmers in the California valleys have been using such chemicals to force their fruit trees into dormancy for years. Why? Because it's not cold enough. And anyone who thinks this can't be done on a much more massive scale simply is unaware of the facts. Our military was defoliating jungles in the 60s. How much further have they come since, now that we have tankers like KC-135s that at lower altitudes can carry 100 tons? Anyone who thinks that defoliation can't be done on such a massive scale is simply, again, unfamiliar with the facts. So regarding the geoengineers' ability to completely cut off precipitation, as they've done in California, they're doing again right now. The drought is back. For those who don't know this or understand this, it's very severe, getting worse by the day, and no rain in sight, no significant rain in sight. They can also drop other elements in that precipitation. We know the toxic elements are there, again, from almost 70 lab tests in Shasta-Siskiyou County alone. There's a mountain of toxic materials coming down in our rain, and we don't know fully what's in that rain. We're trying to discover, but unless you know what you're testing for, it's difficult to find. Bottom line is, geoengineers decide where it rains, where it does not. And anyone who looks up in the skies in Northern California or countless other locations and doesn't realize something is going on, something radical, something horrific, you're very disconnected from reality. That's the fact of the matter. What's the latest psychological operation being carried out by the climate engineers? Consider this headline. Sunday's Super Bowl in Minnesota will be the coldest on record. Luckily, it's indoors. From multiple sources, this headline. This is part of the psychological aspects of geoengineering. From this report, with a predicted kickoff temperature of only 3 degrees, Sunday's Super Bowl in Minneapolis between the Patriots and the Eagles will easily be the coldest ever recorded in the 52-year history of the annual game. That's the kind of headline the climate engineers want. And that's the kind the power structure paid for, mainstream media trumpets and pumps into the population to confuse and divide them as to the true state of the climate, the true state of climate disintegration and planetary meltdown. So let's consider the Super Bowl geoengineered cool down. Let's consider this. During the same window of time that mainstream media will be hyping up the record low temperatures at the Super Bowl, the North Pole is predicted to be 40 degrees warmer than the temperatures at the Super Bowl. Does anyone hear any mainstream source mentioning that? And how about in, I believe, 2 of the last 3 years, on Christmas Day, while it was 50 degrees colder in the lower 48, it was raining at the North Pole. Did media report that? No, they didn't. Now, as I'm getting to the next two headlines, here's the comparison I'm making with major events that are covered by all major media that the public is watching, looking, listening to. These chemically engineered cooldowns with patented chemical ice nucleation processes have been utilized to create the kinds of headlines the climate engineers want in order to confuse and divide the population as to the true state of climate damage, to keep them pacified until the last possible moment. So consider this Super Bowl headline that will be touted certainly by all mainstream media, not mentioning the fact that, oh, by the way, it's 40 degrees warmer at the North Pole. Consider these headlines. This one was from freepublic.com and other sources. Record cold at global warming conference in Copenhagen. Is that a coincidence? Record cold at the global warming conference. What a gift that is to those who want to confuse and divide the population as to the true state of the climate. Once again, from this report, once again, it's bad timing for a global warming meeting as all-time record cold temperatures are set to strike the UN Global Warming Conference in Copenhagen. Now let's fast forward to the year following that. Here's a headline from multiple sources. Record cold at Cancun Climate Conference. Just a coincidence? The next year, the next global conference, and yet more cold? While there was record warm all around this conference, there just happened to be record cold at the conference? Just a coincidence? From this report, as the United Nations opened its latest conference on global warming, Mother Nature, not Mother Nature, the climate engineers, but the report states Mother Nature, sent snowstorms and freezing temperatures that disrupted travel all across Europe and much of the Northern Hemisphere. Even Cancun, Mexico's sunny resort city that hosted the conference was not spared the chill. The UN summit known as the COP16 may not have experienced blizzards and ice, but it did nevertheless get hammered with record low temperatures for the month of December. And let's look at every single day of the conference, six consecutive days, all record low temperatures. Just a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. It's called climate engineering. And for those who don't believe that this type of engineering can be done, you have simply not examined the facts. You're living in denial. Please do some investigation. Here's a headline from the UK Daily Mail from last week. Tokyo suffers its coldest night for nearly five decades as temperatures fall to negative 4°C, sparking paramedics' busiest day for 80 years. Again, another engineered cool down from the climate engineers using patented processes of chemical ice nucleation. Again, over the most densely populated regions in order to affect the psychology and perception of the maximum number of people. These types of weather whiplash scenarios and what we see in the continental U.S. repeatedly, the West Coast bakes while the East Coast, where most of the population lives, is kept under a geoengineered chemical cool down scenario. And in between the, quote, theatrically named winter storms, there is the weather whiplash of immediately spiking temperatures when there's not enough moisture to use chemical ice nucleation processes and thus cool down a shallow surface layer of air. And that's what we're talking about. And we see the paid liars at the Weather Channel constantly trying to explain away how it can go from 60 to snow back to 60 and why there's frozen material on the roads when it's not below freezing. And because these materials are hitting the ground and setting up, causing ice storms. This is a very unnatural material. It behaves unnaturally for any who are familiar with snow. These materials, because they're an endothermic reacting material like dry ice, they sublimate. They tend to not release much moisture, but they gas back into the air. Anybody who knows much about snow that it's experiencing these chemically engineered snowstorms will note the difference in this material. It is very different. Now, let's look at the overall picture. While we have all the headlines about Tokyo and the Cancun conference, which is older but compares with the Super Bowl headlines today, let's look at what's really going on that we're not being told. The weather whiplash scenarios. And how's this for an unbelievably extreme weather whiplash scenario? Here's the headline. Wild Arctic temperatures swing. Massive ridge causes temperatures to rise 100 degrees in just over a week. Actually, it wasn't 100. It's 126 degree temperature swing. Here's from this report. In parts of Siberia, temperatures were about 60 degrees above average on Tuesday, thanks to the clockwise circulation of air around the high pressure area. That's a 100 degree Fahrenheit temperature swing from just over a week ago, when temperatures were as cold as minus 88 degrees Fahrenheit in that area, leading to viral videos of people with icicles hanging on their eyelashes. Again, theorizing the chemically engineered cool downs, but not much coverage once the temperatures rebound 126 degrees. Here's the swing that we had in that particular region of Siberia. It went from 88 degrees below zero to almost 40 degrees above. The actual temperature swing was, I believe, 126 degrees in the same region in a span of less than 2 weeks. We don't hear that on the media, do we? Unbelievable weather whiplash. All we see is headlines from places like the Super Bowl, specifically engineered for the maximum impact on the psychology of the U.S. population. So what's really happening in the polar regions? What is the media doing its best not to tell us? Here's a headline from the Sydney Morning Herald and other sources. Antarctica had record low sea ice coverage in 2017. I want to give a reminder on what I reported in previous broadcasts. Ocean temperatures, all-time record high also in 2017 and escalating at unbelievable speed. And I want to remind listeners of this fact. The ocean temperatures are the bottom line. A cubic meter of seawater, again, can hold 4,000 times the thermal energy of a cubic meter of air. The oceans are warming at unbelievable speed, which is pushing us toward Canfield Ocean, a lifeless, superheated, stratified, oxygenless ocean. Oceans die, we die. Bottom line at the poles, record low sea ice coverage. In fact, record low ice right now at both poles. Record low. Do we see anything about that in the media? Anything at all? Nothing. Start of 2017, also record low sea ice, both poles. Nobody said anything. No mainstream source covered that to any significant degree at all. Here's a headline that I alluded to a moment ago. North Pole forecast to be above freezing on February 5th, 2018. Warming in the Arctic is taking place exponentially faster than elsewhere in the world, and the difference is accelerating. When all the known planetary warming elements are considered, available data shows that the rise in mean global temperatures from pre-industrial times is perhaps more than 10 degrees C, will be more than 10 degrees C in a matter of years. Let's consider what that statement in this report says, that we are perhaps looking at a 10 degrees C temperature rise in a matter of years, by about 2025 by some estimates. If that happens, it's game over. Done. Many believe that's not possible. The same people that are clicking their iPhones, attending the Super Bowl, and who choose not to have a clue about what's unfolding on the front lines of the biosphere. No clue. That habitats are crashing everywhere. Species extinction rate is off the scale at 1.5% of normal. Let me repeat that. Current species extinction rates right now, plant, animal, insect, 1.5% of background rates. Is there anything normal about that? And who could conduct their lives as if nothing's wrong, knowing that that's the case? And knowing that right now, we are likely past 3.5 degrees C of warming, not the official less than 2 degrees that we're told. Blatant lie. Absolute blatant lie, just like the condensation trails is all we're seeing in our skies. Blatant lie. Blatant lie. We're swimming in a sea of lies. But we are already past the point, based on temperature readings that we are monitoring on the ground, that are far higher than the official readings we're being told. It appears that we are past the baseline at which humans have existed on the planet right now. The equilibrium, the climate equilibrium of the last 10,000 years, unprecedented in Earth's history, has been completely blown to bits. The energy balance of the planet has disintegrated. And yet we have militarized, industrialized society trying to continue expanding its cancerous behavior on a finite planet with finite resources that's spiraling completely out of control already. And yet we have speeches from so-called leaders stating that we're going to expand even more. We're going to pump the pyramid up even more. We're going to make America great again. And I don't care if it's Trump, Obama, Clinton. It doesn't matter. Get past the political religion that so many people have adopted on one side of the fence or another and focus on the wider horizon. We don't have much time on the current course. And that's not my opinion. That's a verifiable mathematical fact. Another headline from the Anchorage Daily News in Alaska. Alaska just had its warmest December on record. We don't see any of these headlines here, do we? From that report, statewide average temperatures in December was 19.4 degrees, 15.7 degrees above the 20th century average. And that's the official readings. We think the actual readings were higher. Almost 16 degrees above normal for the entire month. Do we see anything about that? We don't. I want to read some from an exchange between Piers Morgan and Donald Trump that took place last week. And again, Trump is just the puppet. He's the current face in the White House. It's very useful to the power structure because he is the most successful of all of any previous administration at polarizing and dividing the population. That's his purpose. Whether he knows that's his purpose or not is irrelevant. He's playing the part for the power structure. But here's an excerpt from conversations between Donald Trump and Piers Morgan. This took place January 28th on Good Morning Britain interview. Piers Morgan to Mr. Trump. Do you believe in climate change? Do you believe it exists? Mr. Trump, there is a cooling and there is a heating. And I mean, look, it's used not to be climate change. It used to be global warming, right? Question mark. Piers Morgan, right. Trump, That wasn't working too well because it was getting too cold all over the place. The ice caps were going to melt. They were going to be gone by now, but they're setting records. So, okay, at a record level, implying that the ice caps are at record high. A blatant, glaring, absurd lie. But people choose to believe that. Those who want to believe in their religious, political religious idol, Mr. Trump, or those who chose to believe in Obama or Clinton or any of the rest, they want to believe the official narrative. And when Mr. Trump says, implies, that the polar ice caps are at record high, which is exactly the opposite of the truth, people choose to want to believe that. And when they can connect this quote to the record cold Super Bowl temperatures, shallow surface layer of chemically engineered cooled air that the media hypes, and when these same people are not told or don't bother to look for the fact that the ice caps are imploding, sea levels are rising at exponential speed, temperatures are going through the roof, it works to divide and confuse the population until the last possible moment, to pacify them until the last possible moment, at which time collapse will come, as I have stated in the past, like a tornado in the night. Once the links in this chain start dropping out, it will come at, with blinding speed. More headlines. What's the real story in the Arctic? Here's a January 30th headline. Consider after what Mr. Trump just implied, that the caps are at record highs. A headline from factcheck.org. Ice caps at record low, not high. That's the headline. Another headline posted this week from NPR, National Public Radio. We know how much they lie, but there are things that they can't lie about. And for those who discredit any official source, who don't bother to sift the baby from the bathwater, and thus take the opposite position of any official source, like those who take the opposite position of whatever Al Gore says. And yes, Al Gore is a criminal, a tyrant, a con artist, part of the power structure. But the fact of the matter in regard to what Mr. Gore has stated, the climate is not as bad as what Gore stated. It's far worse. It's exponentially worse. The bottom line is we have to sift the baby out from the bathwater, not take the opposite position of people we don't like or sources we don't like. We need to compare that with frontline footage. Then we don't need to believe anybody, correct? Watch the film Chasing Ice. Anybody who has the courage to see what's actually happening with ice around the globe, you can see it with your own eyes. Watch that film. You can see it online for $3. You'll be shocked. If you have the courage to look for the truth and stop operating on bias, ideology, and program preconception, watch that film. Here's the headline. Are the zombie viruses in the thawing permafrost? From that report, in past few years, there has been a growing fear about a possible consequence of climate change. Zombie pathogens, specifically bacteria and viruses, preserved for centuries in frozen ground, coming back to life in the Arctic's permafrost as the Arctic permafrost starts to thaw. Quote, climate change could awaken Earth's forgotten pathogens, end quote, The Atlantic wrote in November. Many of these pathogens may be able to survive a gentle thaw, and if they do, researchers warn they could reinfect humanity. Now, is this a cover-up? I'm not denying the permafrost is thawing. It's certainly thawing. We have massive methane craters blowing out of the permafrost for any who choose to look at that. I've been over that in previous programs. But mainstream media and the agencies they represent put out stories like this that can help to cover up the massive, for example, aerosol spraying going on over our heads. It's certainly biological experimentation also. And thus, to make it seem like it's just some natural consequence of nature when it's anything but. Cover-up for the climate engineers. Agencies, media, all towing the official line, doing what they're told. The legions and legions and legions of order followers, without whom we would not be in this dark place. And how many people do each of us know that, whether actively or passively, are a part of the cancerous power structure because they are following orders, doing their job, just doing what they're told. So when media and official sources try to blame, for example, rashes of new pathogens infecting populations like what's going on right now around the globe, and they try to blame it on thawing permafrost while ignoring completely the sky full of known toxic elements and likely biological elements as well, that's criminal cover-up. Nothing short of criminal cover-up. And we have, by the way, if anybody chooses to search geoengineeringwatch.org, Ken Caldera, the second most recognized geoengineer on the planet from Stanford. They'll find an audio that we have of Ken Caldera stating what he did for the government. Guess what he did? His job was to design pathogens that could be seeded into clouds that would then infect the populations below. Just a coincidence? I think not. Let's consider this headline from Cosmos magazine. Geoengineering could cause more harm than climate change. What a surprise. Just like the pharmaceutical for the human body, correct? Doing more harm than what it claims to treat. From this report, new research published in Nature, Ecology, and Evolution has come to the counterintuitive conclusion that attempts to fight climate change using technological remedies may well inflict greater damage to global biodiversity than global warming itself. Why is that counterintuitive? Why would that be counterintuitive that when you interfere with natural systems, you're going to get a horrifically bad result? What have we stated at geoengineeringwatch.org? Since the beginning of our existence, climate engineering is fueling the overall global fire and decimating the entire planet and the entire web of life. And now we have a few, in this case in Nature, Ecology, and Evolution magazine, that are starting to allude to the facts. Another headline. Lake Forest, hottest spot in U.S. as January heat wave breaks records and broils Southern California. Southern California last week pushing nearly 100 degrees. I believe Long Beach, California was 92 or 93 degrees. That would be a scaldingly hot day in July or August, but it happened in January. Do we hear anything about that while they're touting the record cold Super Bowl? No. We don't hear about that. From this report, Monday brought a second day of record-setting temperatures across Southern California as January heat wave made winter feel a lot more like a hot summer day. Numerous spots around the region hit high temperature records for the day, including Long Beach, LAX, UCLA, Newport Beach. Lake Forest was the hottest at 93 degrees. Again, that's the official reading. The actual temperatures on the ground likely 3, 4, 5 degrees warmer still. Another headline, Southern California's brief escape from drought ends. This is from multiple sources. From this report, Phillips Station, California, it's from AP Press, by the way. California's brief escape from severe drought ended officially Thursday after scientists declared more than 40% of the state in moderate drought, and water officials confirmed lower than normal snowpack in the Sierra. That doesn't sound that bad, does it? Lower than normal? How about snowpack that's 17% of normal in many regions, in the teens? That's not lower than normal. That's record low. What you see is a downplaying of the severity of unpleasant truths for the public and a trumpeting, a hyping up of events like the record cold Super Bowl. And the geoengineers, as I've stated over and over, year after year, for any that want to see this, presentations going back many years, engineered catastrophe, engineered drought catastrophe target California. Is, I believe, the name of the presentation I've given years ago, outlining all this, saying it would continue so long as the geoengineers wanted it to continue. And the one brief let-up last year was not quite what it was painted as, because even though there were large rain totals in certain regions, of more specifically the valley regions, the orographic enhancement, the 3-4 times as much rain that should have fallen in certain mountainous regions, didn't happen. It did not happen because of the aerosolization of the atmosphere. Too many particles. When you saturate the atmosphere with particles, there's too many condensation nuclei, so it migrates moisture, and that's what they're trying to do in the U.S. West. When there's any precipitation coming in, we have days of featureless skies as the climate engineers aerosolize that, fill it with small particles, too many condensation nuclei, and that migrates these clouds sometimes 3, 4, 5 states inland before any rain begins to fall. And this is solar radiation management, doing far more harm than good. Temporary toxic cool downs at the cost of a worsened overall warming. Another headline from multiple sources. Severe heat wave in South Australia with incredible temperatures in some areas nearing 50 degrees C. That's 122 degrees Fahrenheit. This is Death Valley temperatures in Australia. The heat has triggered widespread power outages in cities and states with thousands of homes affected. We don't hear about that, do we? In Northern California, we don't have KRCR and the record searchlight telling us about those, do we? How many people in whatever region you're in have your local media or your mainstream local media telling you about these kinds of stories? 10 miles of roads melting in Australia from the heat. Bats falling out of trees dead because they're literally fried to death in Australia. Same with New Zealand. Heat records being set there. Tasmania. We don't hear about any of that. Another headline from multiple sources, back to the particulates that are being seeded into the atmosphere. And this data is there. And again, why is all this so much more important than everything else happening in the world, all the political theater? Because the biosphere is the bottom line, the absolute bottom line to our survival. Tiny particles have outsized impact on storm clouds and precipitation. Listen carefully to this as you consider what's going on above your head day in and day out. Tiny particles fuel powerful storms and influence weather much more than has been appreciated, according to a study in the January 26 issue of Journal Science. The research focuses on the power of minute airborne particles known as aerosols. What have I stated over and over? This is what geoengineering is about, stratospheric aerosol injection, which can come from urban and industrial air pollution, wildfires, and other sources. How about the jet aircraft in front of our faces day in, day out? How about that source, ignored by academia and all power structure-owned institutions, blatantly ignored? The insane asylum we live in, that people pretend this isn't going on above our heads, that academia, that is completely betrayed, largely, with few exceptions, betrayed the human race and the entire web of life as they continue to pretend that climate engineering is not going on over our heads. This report continues. In this study, scientists examined the role of ultrafine particles, less than 50 nanometers. This is an engineered particle, exactly what's called for in climate engineering patents. But this science source, like all others, pretends it's some sort of natural phenomenon. But scientists had not observed until now the smaller particles below 50 nanometers. They didn't know until now, really. How come the rest of us knew? How come we knew at geoengineeringwatch.org, but these massive science sources didn't know? Is this like the clouds that they now name, about a dozen and a half cloud types that never existed before, but nobody ever apparently noticed before, and that's pushed in our schools by official agencies like NASA to indoctrinate our children into thinking that this is somehow natural and benign and not harmful to them? What a sick, twisted society, just like the vaccinations I covered at the beginning of this broadcast. Sick and twisted when so-called healthcare providers and mainstream media liars push this on populations as if this is something good for you, something healthy, something you have to do. And populations who blindly accept this, where is their sense of reason? Where's their sense of responsibility to the whole? Where's their sense of responsibility to their children? Where is it? A headline from multiple sources. The Trump administration is lifting key controls on toxic air pollution. Does anybody care? When people are pretending that this latest puppet face in the White House is somehow going to cure everything? What a delusional notion. Totally delusional notion. I'm sorry if that's offensive to anybody who loves Trump. Wouldn't matter who's in the White House. Does not matter. If they were a threat to the power structure, they would be dead. But in this case, at this point in time, the insanity has reached new levels. So putting more pollution in the air is not a problem for the power structure, because the more the better for them at this point. Here's from this report. The EPA says it's reading of the Clean Air Act means polluters can be held to lower standards. The Environmental Protection Agency just took a dramatic step toward deregulating major sources of toxic air pollution, which could have huge implications for public health. And there we are with something I've mentioned over and over, which could have huge implications. Why is could in there? Why is it there? We're back to, if you leap off a 100-story building, you could get hurt. If you jump out in front of a speeding semi, you could get hurt. If you put a gun to your head and pull the trigger, you might get hurt. This is absurd. This is the kind of language that tends to, again, pacify populations, and it comes from people who are too cowardly to tell the full truth because their paychecks and pensions depend on them not telling the whole truth. Here's another headline from the International Business Times. Artificially reducing the sun's rays to stop global warming could destroy the world, study says. What have we said at geoengineeringwatch.org since the beginning of our existence? The greatest and most immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm, is climate engineering. And yet we have the whole of academia, back to the could. We have the could word here. Artificially reducing the sun's rays could stop global warming. And oh yeah, there's that toxifying the whole planet factor that's not mentioned. And why doesn't the public acknowledge that? Why doesn't academia acknowledge that? That if we're putting tens of millions of tons of toxic heavy metals and chemicals into the sky to block the sun, not only are we destroying the ozone layer, Not only are we blocking photosynthesis, not only are we trapping more heat than we deflect, we're also contaminating the entire planet because all these materials settle down through the air column where they're absorbed by the entire web of life. The nanometer particulates, which I just mentioned, that scientists apparently never knew until now were there. Never knew. Insane asylum that we live in. And so many, and especially in academia, the hardest to reach of all I have found in 15 years in this battle, the hardest people to reach of all are those in academia. And as I've stated, the proverb that fits their behavior, it's hard to add to a cup that's already full. They are so indoctrinated, so sure of the programming that they've had, that they refuse to look at the truth, almost more than in any other arena. So well trained they are. Efforts to counter global warming. This is from this report, again, from the International Business Times, saying artificially reducing the sun's rays to stop global warming could destroy the world. Efforts to counter global warming might very well lead to this destruction of the world if proper steps are not taken, as if there's a benign way to do this, right? Says a new study, geoengineering schemes to deflect some of the sun's rays have a chance of backfiring if they are abruptly discontinued. The effort could eliminate entire species and ecosystems, warns the study. I just went over species extinction rate. There's no could, there's no might about any of this. It is, it's real, it's here, it's now. And the only thing this study states is that if we start it, we have to keep doing it, right? It could cause a problem only if it's discontinued? No, that's the big lie. If it doesn't stop, we're done. If it doesn't stop immediately, we're done. No matter how ferocious the backlash of the weather system is from being geoengineered for 70 plus years, if we don't stop climate engineering soon, game over. Another headline, multiple sources, taps run dry throughout the world. Now, I just mentioned earlier how climate engineering creates drought. Many in the anti-geoengineering community are pushing a narrative that there would be no rain without climate engineering. That's completely wrong. Completely wrong. I challenge anyone not to believe me. I just ask you to investigate. Climate engineering is what is diminishing rain, not augmenting it. Climate engineering is reducing atmospheric relative humidity by blocking direct sunlight, diminishing wind, thus both factors diminish evaporation and thus precipitation. So bottom line is, know your facts, investigate, don't believe me or anyone else. Don't believe any headline that's dangled before you. If you share information, make sure the information you share is credible or you're harming the cause. Back to this headline, taps run dry throughout the world. From Cape Town to Kabul, taps run dry in crisis cities. And remember how many programs I've stated that the once in 1,000 year droughts created in every single city toppled by the U.S. military in its quest for resources throughout the Middle East. Not a coincidence, geoengineers cutting off the rain. Let's add this headline to the mix. This one from the New York Times. Warming, water crisis, then unrest. How Iran fits an alarming pattern. We know how desperately Western powers want to topple Iran, just as they've toppled so many other Middle Eastern countries. Every single one that Wesley Clark was told we would topple 1 week after 9/11, the false flag event that was the catalyzing element for the American population to get them to go along with the military-industrial complex quest for resources. Iran, obviously a target. Iran has been on the floor, as I've stated repeatedly, of the UN, stating emphatically that their country's rain was being cut off by NATO weather modification programs. Yet we have academia all over the globe pretending this isn't going on. And the precipitation being cut off from cities like those in South Africa, again, which is about to run out of water completely. What happens then? And we are about to find out what happens then, soon. So we have Iran, latest primary target being mentioned by the New York Times. Here's a headline from multiple sources. Unregulated solar geoengineering could spark droughts, study warns. The elephant in the room, not being admitted to, just saying it could, might, may, all lies. From this report, artificially cooling the planet through solar geoengineering could have some dramatic side effects, including an increase in droughts in some regions. If it is carried out in an unregulated way, a new study warns, implying that somehow if you regulate it, it'll all be fine. Absolute, blatant, and absurd lie. The study focuses, this is right from their report, the study focuses on one proposed type of geoengineering known as stratospheric aerosol injection. What have I been through in this broadcast? Repeatedly. The aerosol particles that Much of the climate science community is now only beginning to acknowledge the massive elephant in the room, the lack of blue skies, the hazy, dirty, dingy, filthy skyline that we all look at day after day and that the public has now become accustomed to, not even realizing how completely unnatural it is. Stating again, the climate engineers decide where it rains and where it doesn't and how toxic that rain will be. A rapidly warming atmosphere should produce much more rain overall. The laws of physics say so. 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. So let's ask ourselves this. Why is atmospheric RH, relative humidity, going down, not up? Because the climate engineers are trying to reduce it. That's one of their objectives. Very myopic and destructive objective. But because water vapor is a greenhouse gas, they are trying to reduce this. And I was told this by a geoengineering insider from Oak Ridge Lab. That I taped that conversation, and he stated in that conversation that was one of their goals. Just like the myopic tunnel vision goals of the pharmaceutical industrial complex to address one symptom while making the entire balance of everything else exponentially worse, doing far more harm than any perceived good. And climate engineering, by the way, it's not truly an objective attempt for anything toward the common good. It's about power and control. Ultimately, it's about power and control, period. There's no benevolence in climate engineering, but the people carrying it out are told that it's benevolent or an attempt at benevolence, and they choose to believe that to make themselves feel better. While in fact, they're a part of the cancer that's consuming the planet. So let's consider this headline from Forbes acknowledging what I've just stated about the reducing atmospheric relative humidity defying the laws of physics. This is from Forbes.com. Declining humidity is defying global warming models. Water vapor is much more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide, so substantial increases in atmospheric water vapor can certainly cause significant warming. Rather than keeping pace with modestly warming temperatures, they're warming radically, relative humidity is declining. How can relative humidities decline on a warming planet? Because of geoengineering. That's how. Now let's consider this headline issued yesterday from Rutgers University and geoengineering scientist Alan Robach. The headline, climate engineering once started would have severe impacts if stopped. Consider this, again, the betrayal of academia. Alan Robach in this case, who was one of 1,500 scientists surveyed by the geoengineeringwatch.org legal team, who was one of 1,500 climate scientists who unanimously refused to deny the climate engineering reality on the record. Yet we have Mr. Robach, along with Rutgers University and the whole of academia, pretending that climate engineering isn't really going on. Look up Mr. Alan Robach. Let him know what you think of his deception. Let's get to the bottom lines. I'm almost out of time. Headline from multiple sources, oxygen levels in oceans are dropping dangerously. A reminder, atmospheric oxygen levels also dropping precipitously. Forests are dying, plankton are dying, the two most significant sources of oxygen production on the planet. As I've stated numerous times, and as I've covered in numerous articles, the death of our oceans is not just the result of Fukushima, not just a result of nitrate runoff, not just a result of oil spills, not just a result of global warming. Rather, it's a result of countless forms of anthropogenic or human activity. What factor relating to the ocean die-off should be at the top of the list? The factor that's never mentioned by any mainstream source, geoengineering, which includes ocean fertilization, another form of geoengineering that's not mentioned. So we have all these forms of human intervention decimating Earth's natural systems. So a final reminder on something that shouldn't really need to be said, but apparently it does need to be stated. If the natural systems collapse, we are done. So if you're caught up in political theater, if you're caught up on the religion of politics, on the mass distraction created by mainstream media, time to wake up and look at the wider horizon, or we will soon have nothing left to salvage. Week after week after week, the red flags from the front lines of the biosphere implosion continue to be raised. And even now, how many are simply going about their lives as if nothing is wrong in the world, as if their current paradigm is somehow carved into stone and will never change? And those who are choosing to remain in such a willfully blind state will soon be in for a very rude awakening. These are indeed strange days on planet Earth. We're all swimming in what can only rationally be described as a sea of insanity. How many are truly willing to take a long look in the mirror and to ask themselves, where do I stand in this equation? Will we decide to commit ourselves to the battle for the greater good, or to continue, whether actively or passively, to be a part of the cancer, which, if allowed to continue, will very soon kill our host, planet Earth. When nature dies, we die. Make your voice heard in this epic battle for the greater good. Share credible data from a credible source. Geoengineeringwatch.org will continue to do our absolute best to provide the most compelling and verifiable frontline facts available. All of us are needed to help sound the alarm, to help reach a critical mass of awareness. Doing so is the only way forward. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org.